Praise his name tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the good Lord. Thank his holy name today. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. It's good to be in his house. It's good to see his house in the house of the Lord. Whose temple you are. That's right. You're the temple of the Lord. We're still speaking the Lord willing tonight on the mysteries of the kingdom. I don't think I'm going to do this one in one part. I kind of went a little long Sunday, but I finished that up, so don't worry. That's over. But if there's any question where I stand on marriage and divorce and thing, I hope I cleared that up. I hope you understand that there's really not as much gray as people made out to be. It's pretty black and white. If you just say what the prophet said, say what the Bible said. And actually, if we just do that, we wouldn't have all this mess. If we would take the message, we wouldn't make it a message. Because man's the one that puts a space in there and messes it all up. That's right. Leave it the way God did. It's a nice message for us. Amen. Let's just read a few verses here. Genesis 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'd like to start tonight. By the way, Brother Alexander will be here this Sunday, the Lord willing. So if I finish this up, it'll have to be next Wednesday or after that. But I'd like to speak on the war of the two seeds. The war of the two seeds. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Every head bowed, every heart I trust as well. Is there a need on your heart you'd like to lift up? Say, Father, you know what's behind my hand. You know what's in my heart. And I lift it up to you as we approach the Lord. God bless you, saints. God sees your hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for proving time and time again that you are the one true living God. You're the God that parted the mighty Red Seas. You're the God that's come and healed our sick and saved our lost, Lord. And you've come to us time and time again, service and service again. When we're at home and we get desperate, Lord, and we need a friend, you've met us every time, Father. And we're so grateful to have you as our God. You could have been anything, Lord, but you're just such a bundle of love that we so appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for being who you are. Come, Lord, tonight. Once more, Father, once more, Lord, may you speak to us from heaven. May you take what's in our hearts, Lord, and if there be anything that's of the enemy, any blemish, Lord, anything that brings reproach to your name, we pray you'd forgive us, Lord, and drive it far from us and teach us tonight how to do what's right. Be with us tonight. Speak from heaven. Hear every heart's cry, we pray. May you be glorified in this service. Heal every sickness. Save every loss. Encourage every discouraged soul. And fill every empty with the Holy Ghost, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. We've been in this series for a while now. It's been a few months. And I'm getting to the point where I don't want to just preach everything. I think preaching's good. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe in this boring stuff now. You all understand that. Well, it's on slide number 32 now. Yeah, exactly. And we'll... I got it, brother. I got it 20 slides ago. You know, I don't believe in that. I believe there's an inspiration that comes from the Holy Ghost. Just like I was talking to some students today, I was explaining how, you know, there's a lot of people who claim to be preachers, but they're not really. They're just lecturers. I said, you go ahead and go listen if you ever want to. You know, I'm praying that the Lord will bring some souls in, you understand. But go on the website, listen to me preach. It ain't what I do here in class, because this in class is just me teaching, you know, what I know in my head. I give it to you and things, and God, you know, he has a way of giving you a gift, but he has a way of making sure you don't put your hands on it, because if your hands on it, ain't going to work right. But if you take your hands off, let him get into it, then all of a sudden it can work right. Amen. But Brother Bram said the greatest victory The hardest thing to do is to just get out of the way. God don't need your help. He don't need your assistance. He needs your vessel. Amen. Don't worry about my nose. I'm fine. I saw that. Oh, Brother Andrew's sick tonight. No, I done had 10 devils try to tell me that too. And they speak through students. They speak through coworkers. They speak through my head sometimes. And they speak through loving Christians too who just notice. But at the end of the day, the Word of God's right. Amen. And I ain't sick. I ain't getting sick. I'm healed. I've been healed from the foundation of the world. And Christ came and paid for that. I don't have to be that way no more. Just like I know Dad will be back here in a minute. We understand. But I appreciate my father. You might not know a whole lot about this, but he had a real pain in his stomach a few years back. It was actually right here in church. I forget. It's Crohn's disease or something. He could tell you. But it's something to do with your intestines. And you get holes from whatever does it. Well, it's just pain. I could tell because my dad don't show pain a lot. So when I could see him hurting, I knew something was bad. Well, the short of it is the doctor was explaining it to him, and he got to the point where he said, "And there's no cure for it." And that sparked something in Dad. He said, "Yes, there is, because Jesus Christ can heal me." That's the devil. Look, he's so dumb. Because what he does when he does that is he shows you that it's unbelief trying to stop you from getting healed. And if you recognize he's exposing himself, so expose him back with the Word of God and say, "I call you bluff, devil." Amen. That's right, because the Word says, "I am the Lord that healeth all thine infirmities and all thine diseases." Can you raise in faith enough to say, "That's for me tonight, Lord"? And even just more, praise the Lord for our bodies. Yes, God gave us these temples to live in. He said, John said, "I would that you prosper in health as your soul prospers." But brother, sister, if the soul ain't prospering, I don't care about your body. That's right. There's something that a Christian's supposed to have on the inside that gives you strength to overcome. It gives you strength to have joy in the midst of a world falling apart all around you. I pray you're not trusting in Trump or Clinton tonight because you're falling apart. Hallelujah. I've cast my vote a long time ago. It was for the coming kingdom. That's right. The kingdom that shall never be moved. Praise the Lord. That was all free tonight. Now we're going to try to teach a little bit. That's why I'm getting all relaxed up good. Everything in the Bible, as we could go through, everything that we've come in history, if we really believe the Word of God, it started in Genesis. It didn't come nowhere. There wasn't nothing to our world's history before that. You go into the realm of the eternal, which is beyond what any human mind could ever comprehend. Praise the Lord. Even when we cross over, I don't know if we're really going to understand it all. I'm okay with that because as long as Jesus is there, and I can have a little talk with him, I'm going to have joy and speak a moment full of glory, Brother Kent. That's right, because that's why I serve the Lord, not because I have to, just because I love him. He's such a good God. He's such a good, he is a person now. And he ain't three persons. He's got three different personalities. That's right. When we pray to our Father, when we pray to the Son of God, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, it's all the same God. Hallelujah. But all the way back in Genesis, as we just heard this curse pronounced, And I don't know, brother, sister, I don't even know what I used to think of this before I knew of the serpent seed. What does this even mean here if there is no seed of the serpent? And for people to get so offended that you believe Cain's the son of the serpent, the son of the devil, when we know specifically in 1 John it says he was of the wicked one. It doesn't seem too hard to put two and two together, but that just shows you why the devil's so afraid, because if you can find his origin, you can defeat him the whole way. Amen. And that's why God has come. He's broke open the seals and shown not only who he was from time into eternity, but who his enemy was all the way from the beginning, all the way till he'll be done. The devil don't live on forever, and the devil didn't live forever. He had a day he started, he has a day he ends. Amen. And God knew what that devil would do. He knew what that devil deserved, and you know what he created? He created a place to torment that man for what he would do, that angel. That's right. Hell was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil and all the angels that he convinced that they could make a better kingdom. That's right. So all the way back here in Genesis, God pronounces this curse on the serpent, which we understand. I can be just straight up tonight. We know it was a man-like creature. He was still a beast, but he could talk. He could reason. He walked. He conveyed things to Eve. He quoted the scriptures. I never had a snake come up and say, "You see in 1 John chapter," because they'd be exposing himself anyways, but glory to God. That's right. Because before the fall, he was a beast. He wasn't a creeping thing. He was a beast. Amen. And he would have been so close to human, as Brother Branham said, he was virtually a human with a place for a soul, but didn't have a soul. And that's right. And as much as this other stuff, making it Adam's flesh, no, there was a serpent there. All right, there was a being there because Adam named him. That's right. Why do you think Adam was not deceived? He said, "What are you talking about, boy? I'm the reason you got the name you got, serpent." That's right. Amen. And he came, and we understand in the fall that they partook of the tree, which everybody seems to be able to figure out somehow that the tree of life must be Jesus Christ. But we can't seem to figure out that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in a pear tree. Or an apricot. It was the devil's influence. Is really he was, and he moved through the woman, as we understand, and he produced this here. What we're talking about, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now thy seed, the woman's seed, as we understand, a woman doesn't have seed of herself. She has an appointed seed. Why do you think Mary was virgin, or why Jesus was virgin born? That wasn't Mary's seed. It was appointed to Mary. And here was the same all the way back in the beginning. A woman doesn't have a seed to herself, but she received a seed. And it wasn't really Abel, brother, sister. God could see it was Christ coming. That seed will crush the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent started all the way back in Cain. And if you believe that Cain was really the seed of the serpent's line, and Abel and his descendants and Seth, as we understand, Abel died, that was the God side of the line. It makes sense what this curse said. God said, "I will put enmity of this group against this group." And we can watch it from Genesis to Revelations. It's constant, brother, sister. Look, the Christian, in front of an unbeliever, he can find favor. This is going to be real deep, real good. Nebuchadnezzar really liked Daniel.
That's right.
Belteshazzar really liked Daniel. But then you get them religious people that are right there next to him, right there in the same ranking, those that are trying to kind of play the fence a little bit, try to hold a religion of some sort and try to learn the ways, but yet deep down they don't believe a thing. That's where you find this seed of the serpent. And those are the ones that hate this other one. Amen. See, unbelievers just the way they are. But that make believer in there, that's where you find the Antichrist. That's where you find the deceptiveness of this being that we're talking about, Satan himself. Everybody's got Satan, as we understand. I'm going to start a little elementary. As I said, I'm not going to try to rush this one. If I got to take three parts, praise the Lord, I'm a pastor. I can do that. So, hallelujah. The serpent, man, they got him all painted up, devil horns and just wicked, nasty looking thing. And even if that's what he looks like, you ain't never going to see him like that. Because he's a deceiver. And God is somehow, I don't know, don't ask me to explain it, but he's got power to disguise himself. He can come in any form he wants to. He can use his power of deceptions. He comes as an angel of light. And he comes to a man who wants to be famous. We could just go with Joseph Smith, for instance, who you happen to look right before that was trying to look up magic and things and how to see things with special vision and all this stuff. And guess what happens? The devil meets him in an angel. I'm not going to fight that, sure. Shows him there's these magical gold plates that nobody can seem to find. And you can only read them if you wear special glasses. And you guys think I'm crazy, but this is what they say happened. And if you go read the Book of Mormon, it says, well, really, we messed up a little bit because we picked the wrong language, but our plates weren't big enough. So we just left it the wrong. We actually went back and changed it. It should have been in Hebrew, but the plate wasn't big enough for Hebrew. So we had to go back and change it and make it Egyptian. I'm telling you, you think I'm making this up. It just shows you the devil. Once he gets you one step off, oh, buddy, get ready. Because he'll just take you and take you and take you until you don't even know where you're at. You're in La La Land somewhere. That's right. We've watched that happen in this message. Come on now. As I just preached on this Sunday about what Brother Branham explaining polygamy in the Old Testament, what it mean and what it was foreshadowing and why God allowed it and all these things. And then you get a minister. Takes that. Says one step this way. Well, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's still, we're still supposed to do polygamy. Before you know it, we're way out here somewhere. And you're always caught up on those ideas all the time. I believe the bride of Christ is a part of God. I believe she's a part of the Word. Amen. But then you'll take on a Catholic spirit. Say, well, I'm part of the Word then, so whatever I say is what it is. Because I'm the Word. See, people think that the Pope's way off. He's actually pretty close. If you take it with the real revelation, you can say, oh, I see that. He said, you know, the Pope, his name is the Vicar of Christ. He's in the stead of Christ while Christ is gone. The problem is he's trying to take the Word and make it something else, when if you're in the place of Christ, it's just the Word in a different body, because the Word right now that was Christ that died on Calvary is on the right hand coming back here soon. But his representation on the earth is sitting in this building right now, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The same Holy Ghost that went across the earth all the way back before any of this mess started and took a world of chaos and swept over it and made it into a Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. The same Holy Ghost. If you can get it on the right seed, hallelujah, that's picked out by God. And if you let it brood over you, brother, sister, it'll take your chaos and make another Garden of Eden. Yes, it will. Praise his name. Brother Branham says this, faith that was once delivered to the saints, 1953. Now let's go back in Genesis and pick up at the beginning. We'll find out everything that we got today originated in Genesis. Genesis is the seed chapter of the Bible. Everything began in Genesis. All right, because Genesis, the word Genesis means the beginning. And it's the seed chapter where God sowed the seed of everything. And the evil one sowed his seed, and God sowed his seed. And here the crops are coming up out of the earth, just exactly the way God said. Let me read you another one real quick. Then Jesus came and called 1964. If he was here, or if he was to be here for a couple months, we would be able to have a real study in the scriptures. I like to prove to you that there is an occult on the face of the earth today. But what I can prove to you, it started in Genesis and show you its beginning. It's a seed, just like a vine growing up, all of them, and it comes right up blossoming time now and returning back to the seed again. So all these things that you see taking place on the earth, they began in Genesis. For Genesis is the seed chapter of the Bible, the beginning. So you see, those spirits that was upon those men back in those days still live on men today, see? Satan takes the man, but the spirit lives on. God takes his man, but the spirit lives on. That makes Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He took Christ Jesus, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, come back, has been upon the people in the church all down through the ages, see? Because God takes his man, but not his spirit. Satan takes his man, you find them same spirits. Watch their nature. Amen. So this enmity that we're talking about, what can we really dissect it from is watch the nature of that seed compared to this one. Don't watch the reaction when all the blessings of God are falling down. Don't watch the reaction when the song leader finally sang the right songs and everybody actually worshiped the Lord. Because we find out there's a lot of leeches in the church. And I ain't just saying here. I mean anywhere. There's a lot. Man, I'll tell you what. They'll go to church. They'll nitpick this one, nitpick that one, nitpick this one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Eventually find the one. As Brother Branham said, churches are no longer known by the power of God. They're known by the way they worship. So I just go find the one. If I'm cornstarch, yeah, find the one where that's okay. If I like to, you know, raise my hand once in a while, I'll go where that's okay. And if I want to, I'll go to the place where everybody just shouts and runs around so much that we don't even know what was preached. It don't even matter as long as we feel good. Some of y'all have been there where you listen to a whole sermon and you get done, you go, I mean, it felt good. What were we talking about? What even happened? And as we know in the Bible, I'm feeling good, man. Praise the Lord. Everything that's right with God is right in this balance, right here in the middle. Amen. That's right. I believe we could shout more. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying it at us here. Amen. I've been around Ohio enough. We all could get in the spirit a little bit more when it comes to worshiping the Lord. I don't think we need to worry about fanaticism. It's so far in the horizon, as far as I can see, it's not a problem yet. But I'll tell you this right back here, this refrigerator, we're too afraid to say amen because somebody might look at me funny. Let them look funny. Since when do I care about you when I'm worshiping the Lord? Amen. If I'm worshiping the Lord, you think the church is starchy? Well, then what's your problem? Make it unstarchy. Oh, I can't, brother. You can. That's right. Well, I'll watch them sit back there and say, I've even had a man come to me, man, the most boringest person I've ever seen in the service. I ain't trying to lie, but I ain't never seen this guy move. And we had a service once that I was at, and you know, I'm kind of a frontliner. I'm not, if we're gonna praise the Lord, I'm going. So we had a good shouting time, you know, and we might even had Jericho Marsh that time in the service. Jericho Marsh, they can still do that in the message? Sometimes. No, that's fine. Praise the Lord. I believe we got to get the victory first. No part in marching Jericho if you're all defeated. They wouldn't be walking around. You know what happened? They just kept walking and died. But they knew they had the victory and the walls came down. Amen. Well, I had a good old time and got out of service. And like I said, I don't think that brother moved once. He might have stood for a while. Well, he came after me and said, man, that's the way church should be. That was awesome. And I thought for a minute, I said, man, that's kind of like a painted fire religion. There's my nice fire over there. I'm just sitting behind watching the fire. Oh, that's beautiful. What are you doing? Christianity's not a spectator sport, all right? You either participate or you ain't a Christian. That's right. If the Holy Spirit's moving, I want to be the one moving because I got the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, we should have a lively church. We go to a lively church. Be lively then. I don't know why I'm going down this. But that's right, brother, sister. When you get delivered, my goodness, you better be able to shout or something wrong somewhere. I don't believe your confession. Don't tell me you suffered with cancer 20 years and God healed you today and you said, so good, Lord. Don't give me that. Don't tell me you've been bound up in sin and chains and a torment of the devil and you can't give God praise when he comes and breaks all the shackles. He takes your past, puts it in a box, chucks it into the fire of God to where it don't exist no more. And when he sees you, he sees the Lord Jesus. Don't tell me I got something to praise the Lord for. Don't tell me the Pentecostals can praise him more than me because I actually know what I'm talking about. Because I can go all the way back here and say, that's right, that seed that I'm a part of done whooped the devil a long time ago. Before it even smashed his head in the ground, it was already promised. That's right. These seeds have been fighting all the way from Genesis, brother, sister. And I'm going to get, can we just quote a few scriptures here? Just to show you a few examples, I'm going to do a few in Genesis and we'll just head right to Revelations and you can trust me in between. It's there. Genesis 4:8, you all know this. Cain and Abel tried to give their offering. Notice it's always around worship, brother, sister. This Antichrist, the seed of serpent, ain't out there in communism. It's right behind the truth of the age. It's trying to weasel its way in to destroy the real plan of God because Satan's not dumb. He knows the real word when he hears it, and he's going to get as close as he can because he can't actually accept the word because then he'd have to admit he's wrong and God's right, and he ain't going to do that.
Amen.
That's right. But you go where they fought back and forth, or they didn't fight. Abel tried to talk to him about just do it the way the Lord said. And in verse 8 it says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. You ever thought, I wonder what they talked about? I wonder, and I've dramatized this before. If you don't mind, I'll do it again. But I could just see him. I could see him, and as you've been a believer before, you've met with those people that just can't handle Brother Branham. Just can't do it. They can't handle not the Trinity false doctrine. No. I'll go everywhere else, but I can't do that. You tell them baptism's only in Jesus Christ's name, and go read the Bible and show it to them all. And you know what you do? You go out there and you try to talk to them. But if they got this seed back here that Cain had, it don't matter. Because they don't see, they don't hear, they don't understand. The poor, wretched, blind, and naked and don't know it. And they look at you and say, you bigot. You intolerant, a moron. Can't you figure this out? He said, I figured this out. I know what it's all about. God's trying to bully us around. I've done built my offering and everything else. I put my hard work into this. Cain wasn't no hypocrite now. Cain put a lot more in his worship than most of us do. That's right. He went out there and got the best he could find. What's the best we usually find? Well, Lord, I got about 5 minutes here in between my shows. I guess I'll give it to you, Lord. But Cain actually labored. Yeah, he did. He actually put his hands to it. The problem is he never put his heart into it. You should put your hands into it, but that's because your heart's in it first. Then your hands ought to work. That's right. He built the altar. He gave it to God, and God said, no. I don't accept that. I accept that pile of rocks over there with a bunch of nasty blood all over the place with that pitiful sound. Could you just imagine, brother, sister, this ain't a nice clean blow from a nice sharpened sword. This is a day where, remember, because it even says later that there came a man who built swords and things. He said, in this time, there was no such thing. Right. What did he kill the lamb with? Who knows? Maybe just a rock and just hit it until the thing died. If you ever hear a lamb die, it's a pretty pitiful, just a noise, and just an animal dying at all. It's just, it just moves on your heart because man wasn't made to deal with death. He was made to be in life. Amen. So just hearing it and feeling it, and then Cain going over there saying, what is that? He didn't even try. Come on now, you just killed a lamb. What is that? What did the lamb do? You didn't. Why are you doing that? That's inhumane. PETA be all over. You know it's true. There's a bunch of softies these days. Oh, that's just like nowadays we need to have free college. It's just not right. You just need to have free this and free that. We have free college. Go join the military. Isn't that right, brother? That's, praise the Lord. That's right, we do. You can get it, but you got to do something. Because the problem is, there ain't really no such thing as free. You might not pay the bill. Somebody did. And brother, we had a whole weight of sin on us. Don't tell me it didn't need paid for. It did, but it was paid in full. And all the way back here, as we understand, Abel was typing out what had happened. He went out there, he talked to Cain. I'm sure he put his whole heart because he loved his brother. He loved him. He knew he was a seed of the serpent. It didn't matter. He loved him anyways. And he said, look, just do what I did. Don't associate it with me. Associate it with the Word. Amen. Associate it with the God that we're trying to worship. But the serpent seed can never see that connection. Right. It's always disconnected. It ain't God. It's you. Right. So they tried to destroy the influence. And what did Cain do? Just finish the scripture here. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I wonder what he slew him with. I wonder how gruesome of a murder this was. And look at this. Look at this serpent seed. God comes to him. You can finish reading this. God comes to him. Says, where's your brother? And look at the son. How could this not be the son of the devil? I don't understand. How can you just say this is a man? You find me another man in the Bible anywhere that looked God right in the face. He said, am I my brother's keeper? No, and he just murdered him. And his blood's out there, as God said, crying out to me. And then God gives him a punishment. And what's he do? Boo, boo. Well, where are them tough muscles at now, Cain? That's what happens to a man. He acts, oh man, these atheists and all, man, they just act tough, they just rough, and they're just going to hit these Christians. And then God shows up. And actually shows them, oh, you're going to reap for that, by the way. Oh, God, he's just so mean. God is so mean. I can't believe he's bringing all this judgment on us. Don't he see all these dying babies? Yeah, you see all the ones you killed before they were born? Yes. You expect to get away with it? God is still a righteous judge, brother, sister. Everybody says they don't want judgment until they're the victim. That's right. Just go ahead and try it for a minute. Let's say some man come out there, took one of your children, went out there, and just slayed him. Just like we hear with Cain and Abel. It'd take an awful lot from the Lord. Because you know, no man could say, that's okay. I forgive you. I love you anyways. No, you want justice. Why? Because you're the victim. And brother, sister, if you could see God's Son.
Yes.
Then it's the same situation. Don't tell me Rome killed him.
No way.
Don't tell me the Jews killed him. And brother, sister, and I'm not going to say you did. I did. I killed him. I killed him with my sin. Because if I just would have stayed with the Word, he wouldn't have had to do that. If you would have, if any of us would have, he wouldn't have had to do that. But praise God. That's a love that transcends anything you can imagine, brother, sister. I cannot wait to live in that realm of agape love. See, filial love says, kill that man that killed my child. Agape love really will pray for that man. And then I wonder sometimes, if we really got the Holy Ghost, we say we do, when a man says one little comment about us, and we're ready to slay him. Man stole $5 from us. Kill him. Y'all know, see, this is just preaching tonight. Shows you this, all those things I'm saying. Why am I saying all this? It's by the inspiration of the Lord. You understand that. It's because God is showing us that seed of these things that I'm talking about was all the way back here. This is where it got planted. When Satan took the serpent, deceived Eve, he planted his hybrid death seed into the human lineage. Hallelujah. And God came and God tried to separate it many times, but what kept happening? Man kept putting it back together. Back together. But it didn't matter. These seeds kept fighting. That's right, because God looked past even the natural. Brother, sister, I can't tell you. I'm sure my flesh in some way has got a serpent seed and it's got a God seed. Amen. It's all intertwined. Because even if you want to, we got to Noah and one of his sons come out with it still in him. And they were all sons of Noah. So I guess Noah had it somewhere in his lineage somewhere. Or how did that pass through? Are you hearing me now? I'm not saying no. Oh, I'm trying to save that for another sermon. Can you not let me? Don't pull that way. Pull this way. All right? But you go a little bit later in Genesis now. Let's just go another time. Genesis 27. We'll get to you and your flesh. Don't worry. I'm catching that real quick. Genesis 27. You'll find another two sons. As I said before, you know, we understand that Cain and Abel had the same mother, but they did not have the same father. But once God infiltrated, once he took over that antediluvian age, because he did, to the point where God said, I even repent that I made man. That's the Bible, brother, sister. How bad could it have been? I'll tell you how. Look around now. That's what it looked like then, except they were smarter. They had it more figured out than what they do now. They had better technology than what we have now. That's right. Your brother, you know, they got nuclear power. You can't build that pyramid, brother, sister. You can't do it. I'll give you anything in the world. And it just shows you. I'm sorry, brother Ronnie. We just need to get them 15-year-olds together that all know how to do it and go put them over there, and they'll get it done, right? As long as you pick up all the bricks and you pick up all the stones and you cut them. They'll tell you how to do it, though, because they read it out of textbook. This age is delusional, brother, sister. But you get to this part now where you have, I can't think now, Isaac, there we go, Isaac and Rebekah. And Isaac, as we understand, was the son of the promise. He was God's agent, the perfect type of Christ coming. That's right, coming out of nothing. He was promised for 25 years. Abraham endured 25 years of persecution for believing something that was totally physically and spirit, everything impossible without God intervening. That's right. And he endured that, as we thank the Lord. He's the father of our faith. He showed us how to believe. He kept pronouncing what God said, no matter what anybody else said, no matter what he did. He kept saying the words right. I'm going to have a son by Sarah. And he had a son. He had a son, Isaac. And Isaac, as we understand, was a faithful son. He was a perfect type of Christ. He walked right up that hill. Just imagine, brother, sister, when you're used to killing rams and lambs and everything else at the sacrifice, and here's your dad taking you out, and you're a miracle child. There ain't no way you can kill me. Come on, man. God, this is God's promise. And here we are with a bunch of wood. You know, we got the matches and lighter or whatever they did then. We got it all and start setting it up, and all of a sudden, and the Bible says, as Isaac looked around and said, I got the wood. I think we can make a fire here. Where's the lamb, Dad? And most of us, again, took a carnal mind and said, Dad, you're crazy. I'm out of here. But not Isaac. Because he was under the inspiration of the Spirit, I believe. The Spirit of Christ that, even though he didn't deserve it, put his hands behind, he laid down right on there and was ready to watch his dad kill him. And remember, it said God called out to him, right? And he had the sword. He was ready. And God said, stop. Now I know you don't, or you fear the Lord and you haven't held anything back. And all of a sudden, God created a ram. Hallelujah. And he sacrificed. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, here's this son of Abraham. And then he has two children. Man, if we would do it like we do in the message, they're all saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled before they even made a choice. Because they know this man and he knew the prophet. They got to be saved. Let's just make them deacons. Why not? Look at his last name. Come on. Amen. Even to where Isaac, the Bible specifically tells us, Isaac had a lot better eye for Esau than he ever did for Jacob.
That's right.
Esau was a good, hard-working boy. Esau did what his papa said. Jacob, little sissy. We got to be careful. Even us men, we got to be careful sometimes. Because I believe a man ought to be a man. Don't get me wrong. But we can go to where we want to make a man a macho. And make him, like they say in the world, man, you a beast. You a beast, man. I don't want to be a beast. I know where the beast came from.
But I also don't want to be a little prissy man. That I mean, I could pick up that wood, but it might hurt my fingers.
All right? That's both the devil. God's in the middle. I'm a real man, as Brother Branham said. I'm a real man will work. Yes, he will. He said he's the only one. In our day, I'm convinced he's the only one that's going to work anymore. Because everybody's so lazy here in America. My goodness. If it wasn't for welfare, they'd all be dead. Well, I could go get me a sandwich, but look how far away that is. Let me watch my show again. Seed of the devil, all the way back to Genesis, brother, sister. So he has two sons, as we understand, and Jacob, he's a supplanter. He's under the influence of his name at the time, but God saw way past that, and he saw the promise all the way back in Genesis. He's the right seed. Glory to God. And here's Esau looking like he's doing right, looking like he's faithful, but God knows his heart the whole time. It's just as he don't care. Whatever. As long as I'm happy, praise God. But the second I got to sacrifice for the kingdom, I'm out. You met him. As long as everything's going just fine, I'll serve the Lord. But then the trials, persecution, brother said something bad about you. Brother, sister, if you left church because of people, you never were in church because of God. Amen. That's right. I hope that sunk in real deep and said, Lord, I only want to worship you. Amen. Don't never let a man become getting between you and your worship to God. God never ordained that. That's a priest. We don't got priests. We got preachers. And what did preachers tell you? You can be reconciled back to God. You don't need me to talk to him. I'm just another way to get you back to talking to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I even just answered that question at school the other day. I said, I ain't a priest. Don't say that. Priests are people that need to be in between God and man. Some people still believe that in the message. Can't talk to God. Let's talk to pastor first. That's why you don't hear from God, because even though you talk to the pastor, you never talk to God first. You don't even hear God out of the pastor. And some men just love that, man. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I can't handle it. I got no problem with me. All right? And I don't mind helping when there's times to help. I believe God's called a pastor to do those things. But if a man ain't leading you, go pray to the Lord, man. See what the Holy Ghost says. I mean, he might give you a word. That's right. He's given me words before for some of y'all. But that ain't every day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. Amen. That's right. He's the only one. Because at the end of the day, brother, sister, you got to put your head on your bed. Amen. And you're going to fight the devil right there. Yes, you will. This seed, this serpent, this devil, this demon power will follow you everywhere. You got to fight him off. Amen. And you ought to think about your brothers and sisters also when you go to bed. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about what they got to fight. Think about what they're going through. Maybe you ought to pray for them. I don't know. Maybe you should pray first and then you can pray for them. Hallelujah. I'm going to read my Bible today. Like Brother Branham said, Jesus wept. Amen. All right. I'm going to pray today. Lord, thank you for... Amen. All right. Come on, brother, sister. That's religion. And that's of the devil. That goes back to Genesis. That's what Cain was doing. That's what Esau was doing. And my, they looked mighty good in the church. But God sees past that. When people say God looks at the heart, I tremble, because he really does. And if that's all the heart you give God, you in trouble, buddy. That's right. If you act like you deserve a purple heart because you showed up one time and paid tithes one time out of your life. I've met them. Hey, brother, did you see that? See what I put in there? Put my tithes in there. Did you see it? Well, your reward's gone, brother. Because it ain't for me anyways. What are you talking about? And all you all know, I don't take that tithe anyways. So that's not even good carnally, much less spiritually. Hallelujah. And the Bible, what does the Bible say? He said, give your life as a living sacrifice. Amen. That is your reasonable service to God. Hallelujah. And a real Christian knows that. A real Christian that's experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost recognizes that no matter what you've sacrificed for God, it don't even show up on the radar when you look at what God has done for you. Amen. But the seed of the serpent can't see that. All they can see is what they've done and what they've accomplished and how they've got the short end of the stick every time. And here's Esau. He said, I was faithful to my dad. I went to church every service. Jacob skipped that one time. I was there. I saw it.
That's right.
And the whole time, he don't even care. The whole time he's got the birthright doesn't mean a thing to him. He wants the blessing, but not because it'll give glory to God. He wants it for the benefits for himself. So when Jacob, as we understand, he was still a supplanter, but he had to get that birthright. He was still a deceiver, but he had to get that blessing because he was the promised seed. Everybody says, God loves everyone. Well, he would, but you don't love him. And the Bible told us, if you want to go read, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why is that? It's because Esau was a bad man. Not necessarily. It's because he saw the seed he was. And he could trail it all the way back to that rotten devil that was up there. And Lucifer, God's right-hand man and all the chaos he caused. Hallelujah. If you just want to let's just do one verse there. It's Genesis 27:42. Gets right to the point. It says, in these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. And you can find that in the New Testament. He says, there'll come a day where those that are claiming to serve God will kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. And here's the same seed all the way back here in Esau doing the same thing. I don't have to worry about this blessing and this birthright and all that, because even though God said that's what it is, I don't care. I'll take it in my own hands and I'll kill him.
Right.
Yeah, where's your blessing now, Jacob? But they couldn't touch him. Hallelujah. He was still a sinner and Esau couldn't touch him. Hallelujah. And when it came time that he didn't need to be a sinner, he needed to be saved to get out of it, God met him. He got down and prayed on rocks, but God met him. First, he saw that ladder going up and down, didn't he? He said, whoa, this is a dreadful place. He said, oh my, God's real. And he's like, okay. And that's when God started working on him. And then he came to where the trial got so hard, if I don't get God, it's over. It's over, I'm done. Esau's going to actually kill me. And then all of a sudden, a man come out of the woods. And something on Jacob just began to say, I gotta do something with this. You know how it is. When finally you mean business and said, I ain't letting the service out of my hands. I'm not leaving in bondage again. I've done it time and time again. Not today.
Amen.
Come here.
Yeah.
Give me my blessing.
Amen.
I don't know. Are you that determined? Or if I go over 50 minutes, you're going to check out.
Amen. Come on.
When Jacob wrestled, the Bible let us know it went on all night. And that might not even be a service, brother, sister. That might be you in the prayer closet.
Amen.
Well, I don't have a closet. Brother, sister, just get on your couch then, but pray.
Amen.
Good. We're getting so broke now we can't have closets.
Right.
That's right. Well, praise the Lord. I don't think he meant it had to be. See, that's religious again, brother, sister. I just got done talking to students and said, I don't believe in organized religion. And don't you believe in it either. You say, why? People say, how long does service go? What should your answer be? I don't know. Because it's not organized.
Amen.
That's right. Sure, things might typically be this, typically be that. But just the time you get done saying that, they're going to come to a four-hour service. Just like when Jesus, I'm sure, man, they had just heard the Beatitudes. The disciples thinking, man, this was good. Man, that was good work. See, look, 45 already. I heard the watch. Man, that was good word. I'm gonna bring that, you know, that one that didn't really like you, but he'll like this because it's the good part of the word.
Right. Yeah.
I'll sneak him into it. Just like what we do at message weddings. Isn't that right? Not have a wedding, we have a trick people into getting saved service.
That's right.
Sure, testify, preach the word, do it right. But don't get up there for 2 hours. I've been there, brother, sister, on and on and on. No, you do what you want to do. Praise the Lord. Like, I appreciate the renewal we had here. I think that was beautiful.
Amen.
With the word and things. But I've sat through. And I ain't making this up. I was there. How long was that? 2-3 hours? preaching with them at the altar. 2.5 hours, brother, sister, in a message church. And I thought, are we really just trying to trick people into getting saved today? Oh, no, it's a wedding. No, you need to get saved. Come on, now that ain't the way God does things. If you're here for a wedding, have a wedding. If we're here to pray, let's pray. If we're here to do communion, we're here to have communion. And if we're here in the service of the Lord, we're here to worship Him, we're here to praise Him, we're here to receive His Word. Let's not waste our time just trying to fellowship. We didn't come here for that. We came here to receive from the Word, brother, sister. I hope you're feeling good as I am, brother, sister. Now, I told you, okay, we got Genesis there. I believe you see the seed. Now, go all the way to Revelations with me. And let's watch this seed as it comes back to seed again. That's right. Revelations 13. Praise the Lord. Revelations 13 speaks of the beast. And let's skip a little bit of this. If you go to verse 4, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I'll tell you who the God seed is. Hallelujah. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme His name and His tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Oh man, I almost got to preach a sermon right there, brother, sister. If you look first, what was the first thing? It was blaspheme against God. Because now even in the Catholic, even the Pope that's supposed to stand for Christianity, they're even coming against God Himself. Yeah. Sure, you can be a Buddha and get saved. Sure, you can do that. Sure, as long as your heart's right. Your heart ain't right if you're serving Buddha. That's right. And if you go look at Buddha, it ain't about your brother or your neighbor. It's about you. That is. I need to be in nirvana. I got to do all this and feel good and concentrate and all. It's selfish. Totally from the devil. Amen. That's right. What do they do then? To blaspheme His name. Push that name of Jesus just right on out. They can't just get rid of Christianity as a whole? Fine, we'll just make it Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Good enough. Then what? And then, and His tabernacle. And there's where you see the seed coming back to full swing again. What are they going to blaspheme? You. You true believers that are the tabernacle for God. They'll say, oh, no, that can't be it. Look at those people! They say, you got to wear a dress. They say we can't have TV. You know, that's all they see. They don't see no spirits behind any of it. They don't get anything that you're trying to say. Sure, you can wear a dress every day and go to hell just the same. But look, don't tell me you're serving the Lord and looking like a man. You're serving the Lord and being a striptease and being a prostitute in the eyes of every man that walks by. You're not. Don't tell me you're a predestinated son of God sitting there feeding on the things of the world. You're not. You're deceiving yourself. You need to get that out of your life and figure out, Lord, am I God's seed or not? Because it's time to forget that. We ain't here to be intermingling. We need to know where we stand. And I trust if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that you've got enough faith to know, I know what side I'm on. Amen. So that... Hallelujah. And them that dwell in heaven, we understand. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all nations and tongues or kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that worship upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. I've got to read the next one. I'm sorry. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Brother, sister, it looks like in every age that we just talked about, every situation, it looked like that seed of the serpent was going to wipe out that God seed. And it comes all the way right here to the end where it says that God even allowed him to have power over the saints to begin to overcome them and overwhelm them. And if it wasn't for a prophet, he would have done it. But God sent His word and God sent us a voice that gave the bride power to keep that serpent out. And to crucify or take him out right on the head, brother, sister. Sure. Slice it in one just like David. Just gone. Amen. All it took was one prophet in God's hand. Why? He was God's seed. Amen. And God's seed will always beat the serpent's seed. But God has allowed it, as I'm going to try to bring this to a close. We can't avoid the serpent seed. Even what we just read there, as I just said, it was given power to even to try to overcome them. But what was our faith and patience? We can't lose. It could look like every message church falls apart, every message pastor backs out. They've got every doctrine, you know, whatever, they got it all reasoned out everywhere. Where did all that happen? Way back in Genesis. It was the same thing that the serpent did to Eve. He had the word, but he just snuck in that little bit. And it destroyed the whole thing. And here he is doing it again in the book of Revelation. Don't act like you can run away from it. Don't act like you're out of the will of God if you're fighting it. You're out of the will of God if you don't think, if you realize that you're not fighting it. Because that means you're on the wrong side. Could preach all night just on that. Let me read you out of the church age book. He says, but one Cain was evil, being of his father, that wicked one, and Abel was righteous before the Lord. Again, there were two children from the flesh of the same parents. They were twins of Isaac and Rebekah. One was the elect of God, and the other one was reprobate. Both worship God. In every single case, there was worship of God involved. In every case, the evil hated the righteous and persecuted the righteous. And in some cases, the evil destroyed the righteous. But notice, they were planted together. They lived together. They both made claims upon God and worship God. These illustrations depict perfectly the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said the kingdom of heaven was like unto a man that sowed good seed, only to have an enemy come and plant tares among those good seeds. Sure, sure. God did not plant the tares. Amen. Satan planted those tares right among the good seed of God. Those two kinds of plants, people, from two different seeds, grew up together. They partook of this nourishment in the same earth. They shared the same sun, rain, and other benefits, and both were harvested in their turn. Do you see it? Don't ever forget these truths as we study the church ages and later the seals. And above all, listen to me now, don't forget that it is in this last age when the tares are getting bound for their burning that they will shove out the wheat that is to be garnered by the Lord. If you're tired of feeling rejection, you better just buckle up and get ready. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Because look, and I understand, I'm going to read you a few more here. You got a little bit more time tonight?
Yep.
I understand, brother, sister. It's real hard not to be discouraged in this age. It's real hard to get to where you love people, you care about them, you just like Abel, you go out there telling them the world, God even anoints you, tell you exactly what you need to tell them to help them out, and they call you the devil. They turn you down. They fight you. They everything else and call you all kinds of names. And you go back and praise the Lord, did I mess up? Did I do it wrong? Brother, sister, if you're preaching the word, you're not doing it wrong. That's the problem. We don't try to make this science formula how we can witness right. How about you just witness and let God work out the details? That's right. I'd much rather you try and mess up than to never do it at all because you're too afraid to move. The prophet dealt with the same thing. Where we'd say, Lord, I'm just done. I'm done with this. I can't, I'm wore out. And the second you say that, just look, we're all wore out. We're all tired. I got it. We're all busy. We all got this. We all got that. But look, is Satan going to win or not?
Come on.
He's not, brother, sister. So we need to shut these lips of ours and quit giving praise to the devil. And it ain't easy. Just had it the other day at school, talking to the teacher. Before he knew it, just whining about this and that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I'm not even 30, and I'm becoming a grumpy old man. And look, the devil can give you every reason. He don't make up stuff now all the time. He can't all the time, or you wouldn't believe him. But he'll give you this and that. You got it right. You can say that. You can say that. But at the end of the day, I got to break all that apart and say, wait a minute. What did the Word say? The Word said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called the God's seed, to them that are the called according to God's purpose. We've got to knuck down and say, Lord, I don't need to get out of this. I need to overcome this. As I said before, these seeds, we would love to just serpent seed go away. That will come. Don't get me wrong. There will be judgment on the seed of the serpent. Yes, sir. They'll all be done away with. They're not eternal. They're not. They don't have eternal life. It's not in them. Even the foolish virgin's got eternal life in there. And I don't want to explain that tonight. But the serpent seed ain't got nothing. They can't raise again. Brother Bram says this, putting on the whole armor of God. And he's talking about, you all know, the time where he shot the gun and almost blew up and killed him. Here's what he said. He said, I never lost my sight nor my hearing. I got a whistle tied down on here somewheres yet. And this right eye has got a stick in it. I suppose that's the way you pronounce it. It's nervous, shakes, but it's all right. It'll be just fine. So everything will be fine and dandy. And I know it was for some purpose. We know that our Lord is always true. And when he said he'd make everything work that way, so I'm just trusting it to be that way.
Sure.
He told me many things and let me bypass many troubles. But you know, he can't let me bypass them all. We got to. We ministers have to suffer as well as you people there. And I ain't reading this because I'm a minister, brother, sister, but this is what the prophet said. That's right. He said, the Lord sometimes speaks and lets us know how to bypass troubles and do things. But remember, we get right into those places too where we have to suffer right along with the rest of them. And it's really more harder on us than it is for you, seems like. He just holds off a long time for us, you know, don't answer all the time. It's the prophet saying that. So, but we're thankful that he always comes riding in on the waves. And so we're thankful for that. And I'll have you turn to scripture here in a minute. Let me read you one more out of the adoption. Brother Bram says, yesterday, people don't know what depressing times comes with this type of ministry. I got real depressed, and I said to my wife, I wish I could just go on. She said, why do you ask that, Bill? I said, oh, here I have troubles and things. And then it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, are you trying to bypass them? Are you trying to dodge them? See, no, I said, just let me stand in the face of it all and face it out. Amen. Turn to John 17. And this is where all that lovey-dovey Jesus that everybody wants to preach all the time really goes out the window real fast. John 17. If you know John 17, it's Jesus' prayer. Before he went to the cross, prays a prayer for the people of God. And again, let's save some time. Let's go to verse 6. It said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Aren't you happy Jesus prayed for you?
Amen.
Now look what he prayed. Don't come up with your own prayer. Come up with what Jesus said. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. You can't change that. You have to be in the world right now. These are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep those through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not. Okay, so we heard what he prayed. Let's make sure we understand what he didn't pray for. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Did that sound familiar? That's the second time he said that. So what is, and look, let's just stop there. I think you're getting the point. Jesus is trying to prepare his people for their ministry to come. He says, I've preached the word, and that's what's going to strengthen you. If you keep reading, he says, I sanctify myself for them. I've given them the word, and the world hath hated them. I know that the world will hate them, but my victory will be through them. So them knowing what I'm saying, they'll get the victory. That's my joy in them. Because even though the world will be against them, even though they're planted right in the middle of it, they know in their heart, I am an overcomer. Then we can have consolation when we're in the world and we fight with things of the world and demons and powers of hell, knowing that Jesus prayed for us to be there. Amen. Said, I don't pray to take you out of the world. I pray that you're in it. Why, brother, sister? So you can preach that word. So you can be a light that shines, that finds the next one. And then they can be a light that finds the next one, brother, sister. But if we all just knuckered down and say, man, I wish I could leave. I wish I could just get out of here. You ain't going to witness. You ain't going to shine for the Lord, and you ain't doing nothing for the kingdom. Jesus didn't pray for that. Jesus prayed that you'd believe him in the midst of being intertwined with serpent seed on every side. And what more age have we had enough devil influence all around us than this age? Where are you going to avoid it, brother, sister? You can't. So quit trying to avoid it and overcome it. Amen. Look, them brothers, I'm here to tell you, them pretty ladies are going to be everywhere. If you don't just knock down and overcome by the Spirit, you might as well forget it, throw in the towel, you're done for. Uh-huh. Sister, you're the same. You got some lustful eye against some or just trying to be pretty or worldly or whatever and listen to this and gossiping or whatever you're dealing with, brother, sister. You got to learn, God ain't going to just take it away.
Right.
He's given me something to overcome it. To say, yes, I'm in the middle of this, but I ain't going to let it overcome me.
Amen.
Keep reading. We actually got to read it. Sanctify them, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You're not here on accident. You were sent here.
Amen.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hallelujah!
Woo!
You see it now. God said, get out there in the word or in the world with the word and preach it. I send you out there. I send you as sheep among wolves. But don't worry, I'll still be there. Don't worry, you might not feel me, not might see me, but the mighty shepherd follows you everywhere, brother, sister. Why are you there? So that you can find the next one that'll believe because you stood on the word. Glory to God. And if you trailed all the way back, brother, you were testified from this person. They were from this one all the way back till you get to Paul or down to Peter, back to Jesus, all the way down through John the Baptist, back down to that first chapter in Genesis when the word went forth, you were a believer there.
Amen.
Glory to God. What consolation ought it to give to us, brother, sister, to know first we're not of the world. He told me it twice. I better listen.
Amen.
But I was sent here. Why? To conquer. To not get depressed. To not get beat down. Even though it's going to come, I've got to learn. God put me here to testify of Him. Let me quote a few scriptures. I'm going to close. 1 Peter 6:8. Just listen. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Can we say amen? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, even though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Come on now. Yeah, I'm not of this world. I'm of the Word. I'm not here on accident. I was sent here. But I believe this Word. I ain't staying here. I'm trying to get everyone I can to get on out of here and go to that kingdom that Daniel saw come and come out of the mountain.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in that. What does it do to me? Though now you see him now, not. Now, though now you're under manifold heaviness from manifold temptations, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why, brother, sister? Because I got a promise. Why? Because I know if I lose my joy, I got no strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. It's not time to be depressed. It's not time to knock down and let the devil get the victory. It's time to stand on the promise that Jesus even prayed right here. I prayed for you, the Lord could say tonight. I prayed for you there in Laodicea. What are you doing laying down the sword? I prayed for you. Who else do you want to know prayed for you but the Son of God Himself? And what did he say? I've sent you into the world. I've sent you there. but I've gave you a sword. I've sent you there, it looks like alone, but don't worry, I got a shepherd's staff right behind you anytime they get too close. I sent you alone, but keep preaching, you won't be alone forever. Because you'll find this sheep, and you'll find this one, and we'll come together. Will the bride come together? Yes. You know where? In Christ. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:4 says this, for whatsoever, you all know this, is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Glory to God. And like I said, this is just probably part one of who knows how many. But this battle that's been waging is what the message has come to show us was going on all the time. We didn't realize it. We thought a lot of times that that was the word of the Lord, but it wasn't. It was the word of the devil. We thought that discouragement every single time we tried to serve the Lord was God. We found out, no, it ain't. It was the devil. Job's temptation wasn't God. You said, well, God allowed it. Yes, I understand. But God didn't do it. And as long, if the devil could have got Job to believe that it was God punishing him, he'd have been defeated. I wonder if that's what's happened to most of us. When we get defeated, we think it's because God punished us. We say, well, I did this, I did that. Do you got a sacrifice? Then how could God punish you? The punishment's already been passed. And we don't have a lamb sitting out there somewhere that next year I'm going to have to do again. We've got the virgin-born Son of God laid down His life for our place. He never asked us to do it. He did it Himself. Brother, sister, it's paid for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And has He ever failed to prove it? Has He ever failed to hear your prayer? Has He ever failed to heal you when you asked? I ain't talking in a bunch of doubt normally. I'm talking when you put your hands on the rock of ages and say, Lord, this is the word. What happens to man? He's so forgetful of everything except the devil or sin for that matter. He can remember sin like that. Well, you try to think on the promise of God, it's a war. That's the war we're talking about. Can I read you one more and I'm going to close on this? Thank you, Brother Justin. Y'all heard that. And this was just in the office. I was kind of reading through this awakening. Brother Branham says this. If you know the context, he was talking about when they were in a ship and it began to rock and things. And he says this, in the sail, probably the wind just come down with an angry gush and whipped it right off the mast pole. And the ship rocked over into big waves, white capped, and throw the water in on the boat. And the boat began to fill up with water. Trouble. Real quick, what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. That's right, he was sleeping. What if Jesus is sleeping? Don't be offended. Say, Lord, help us. Said, all hopes of survival seemed to be gone, though they had seen Him do so many things. They had seen it. But when trouble set in, all was forgotten. I wonder if that's just not about the case tonight. We know what we have seen God do in this revival. You ministers know that. You've seen His power. How He raised the dead, doctor statements. He foretold the things that's happened on the dot. He's healed the sick. Thousands times thousands has been healed around the world. But now while the little law comes, and then when trouble strikes, do we forget that so quick? It goes on later, and I've taught on this before, how things, look, and people think they understand spiritual things, but if you're really coming against the kingdom of the devil, he will fight. He will. He'll be defeated if you don't doubt, but he will fight. And people think if you did something spiritual, it should always just be nice and pretty all the time. Yeah, you got a good Cain religion. But the real thing was a bloody, messy fight. It's a war between these two seeds. It's not a picnic. And it ain't a debate either. So go ahead and stop preaching like this and preach from your heart. You put a quote in things, don't go all the way on that side. You hear me now. But too many people think they're called to get on Facebook or whatever and you're a missionary. And there's missionaries out there ain't got shoes. Those are missionaries. And instead of you on there trying to be whatever, brother getting on there trying to be boss of everybody else, a lot of times sister get under an inspiration and become internet preachers. It happens. I've watched that. Think they know it better, but just go do what the Bible said. Go home. And how about you pray?
How about instead of trying to fake a ministry or whatever, pray for the one that you know God's already sent out there.
And if God calls you, He ain't going to call you to go like this. He's going to go call you to, well, first get down like this and then do a lot of this and a lot of taking a reproach. Praise the Lord. Don't forget what the Lord has done for us. Don't get all disturbed like Brother Branham. Let me just find that. You give me another minute or two. He was talking about, he was doing a, let me just, I'll pick it up right here. And that's just about like Satan to do that. See, right when you're having a testimony meeting or something, because he was talking about when the storm came, they must have been having a good testimony meeting. And then the devil shows up. Here not long ago, I was in a meeting. I'm getting ready to make an altar call. An old fella just pitched right over on the floor, dead as he could be. See, in a heart attack. And all the place was disturbed. And I forgot it was somewhere in Wisconsin. I thought, God, what can I do? I looked over here and I seen an old man in a vision walking out the door. I know what to do then. Not long ago, with this great sponsor of Oral Roberts, doctor up there in Philadelphia, what is that? And he talks about a name. Let me get down here, Barton. We were having a meeting and I was getting ready to make the altar call. I noticed a woman acted real funny. And her daughter run over there, began to rub her face. And I thought, well, she is subject to fainting. And all at once, her feet went right out straight and her head, hands back like this. Dr. Barton run over there, took her pulse, and she had none. He looked at me, shook his head. Well, I tried to keep the people's mind. That's a powerful lesson, brother, sister. Because the world will tell you, we got to do something, we got to do now, come on. The Spirit knows there ain't nothing out of cater because we're in the service of the Lord. Just think, man, and we need more ministers with a backbone, I'll tell you that. When Brother Branham got the message, you need to show up now, your mom's dying. And his own words were, that's not as important as the ministry of the word.
That's right.
God will hold mama until I'm done.
Right.
And I remember a man said, Brother Branham, I used to think you were a big man, but you looked 10 feet tall once I saw that. That's right. Now, let me finish that quote. He said, I tried to keep the people's mind. They were setting out a great crowd. Keep it off of it. Like that, just going ahead, talking. And so, go get little Branham. That was Billy. And Billy seen that dead woman. He had nothing to do with that. See, he didn't want that. Well, just as I started to speak again, now Dr. Barton, as you know him, you might ask him, started to speak again. I said, no, everybody, do not be excited. Keep quiet. Sometimes when you see a demon try to come out of a person, they get so irreverent, the crowd gets tore up. That's the wrong thing to do. Sit still. Don't get excited. He is here. Glory to God, brother, sister. And you know what? There's one thing Jesus never did. Does anybody know what it is? He never preached a funeral in his life. Glory to God. He showed up to some and they ended without funerals anymore. That's right. He saw a woman all depressed. Oh, my son's dead. My son's dead. But he's here now. And he just walked over there having a little compassion and said, no, it's okay. Come here. And just handed her dead son right back, alive and well. That's right, brother, sister. And he's here tonight again. I pray you believe with all your heart. Oh, there's a war raging. There's two seeds under two spiritual influences coming back to seed again. It's Cain and Abel once again. But brother, sister, just before Cain can kill this seed, God's going to pull his hand down. Call forth a resurrection. That's right. Remember, the resurrection's first, brother, sister. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. We got to get that kind of anticipation in our souls that this is real.
Amen.
That one day I'm going to look and see dead, used to be dead, but bodies alive again walking. And nobody's going to know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm going to feel like a crazy man myself. I'm going to feel like a nut. As Brother Branham said, an eyeball. But I'm going to know it's almost done.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. And right now, brother, sister, I might not see it here. But it's still true. It's still our promise that we're going to meet Him in there.
Amen.
And I don't care. They could elect whoever they want to. They could have every bomb in the world ready to blow up. I don't care if it comes down to the last 30 seconds and they got all over the news, we're all going to die. We're getting out of here.
Amen.
You've got to believe that with all your heart, that though the war be raging, I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Oh, let's praise His holy name. Praise His name tonight. I feel like worshiping the Lord a little while. We've got a mighty promise. You need help? You got another one? All right. Thank the Lord. Now, Dad tried a song here not too long ago. We didn't quite know, but I think we got it figured out now. And if you got your books, it's all right. Let's turn there tonight. 326. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I want to sing that one. It's still E flat.
Is that why you're here tonight, brother, sister? The battle's waging, but I'm leaving. I'm going to Canaan's land, and I ain't going just by the clip of my heels. I'm victorious.
Let me sing.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm on my way. If my brother don't go, if my brother don't, I'm going on. I'm going on. My sister. If my sister don't go, if my church, yes Lord, if my church don't go, I'm going on, I'm on my way, praise God, on my way,
I'm on my way,
I'm on my way,
believe it now,
to Canaan's land.
If the deacon
don't go, I'm going.
If the preacher
don't go, I'm going. If the church don't go, I'm going on.
She's
on her way. Praise God, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way.
Closer to that promised land.
Lord, there's battles, there's trials, but I'm on my way. Devil, you can't stop me. Let's sing it now. I'm on my way to Canaan. Believe it with all your heart. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way.
Look right above there tonight, 325. Canaan's land is just in sight. I'm not just on my way, but I'm almost there. It's just in sight, brother, sister. It could be tomorrow. It's still E flat. Let's just try to worship. Maybe you don't know it. We can figure it out here. We'll worship the Lord. You love Him with all your heart.
Moses led God's children. 40 years He led them. Cold and through the night, though they said, let's turn back.
Jesus said, keep going. Canaan's land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by.
Yes, Lord. Think about it now. Yes, Lord.
Though we walk through valleys, though we climb high mountains, we must not give up the fight.
Oh, yes, Lord. Amen, Father. Come on now.
We must be like Moses. We must keep on going. Canaan's land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing.
There'll be no sorrow.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by.
Soon and very soon, brother, sister. Yes, Lord.
Milk and honey flowing. That is where I'm going.
Sister, give him praise tonight.
We have money flowing. That is where I'm going. Gain is life.
Oh, can you see it right over the rim? Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father. There will be no sorrow.
Thank the Lord. Thank you, Father.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing. That is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just inside.
Oh, thank the Lord for his promise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, Father God, help us tonight. Oh, we believe it with all our hearts. Lord, we'll wake up, we'll see them soon. Oh, we'll be there, Lord, with you, with the children of God. And that's your kind of glory. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, lift up your voices to him, brother, sister.
Hallelujah.
Praise your holy name tonight, Lord. Thank you for your promises, Father. Brother, sister, it's not a fairy tale. I got a grandpa's pass on. I can't wait to see him again. We got the saints of God that we think of and we read about. He's like, my, I like to meet. One day you will, brother, sister.
Amen.
And then once we get all acquainted, We all get settled in real good. And he'll appear. And I'm sorry, Brother John, I won't see you no more. You won't see me. We'll see him. The one that we love. We haven't seen him yet, but we love him. And believing, what are we doing? We're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dad, you find that song, If It Wasn't for the Mercy. It's on that same page over here. It don't have a key, so wherever you can find it. As Dad's singing that in the spirit now, I feel just that victory. Do you feel the victory in the room? If you have a need and you'd like prayer, come with that victory. Come forward, and I'll be happy to pray with you. If you know that song, we can worship the Lord, but I want to leave it open just a little while for anybody that might want prayer, if it wasn't for the mercy. That's probably a little high, Dad. Hallelujah, Jesus.
If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord,
327,
I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today.
Sing with all your heart now.
Today, if he
Time, let's sing it with all our hearts now.
If it wasn't for the mercy of the good,
worship Him now. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
I would.
We'd be in a grave somewhere, brother, sister.
Today,
help me out, Dad. I only got so much.
If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today.
With all your heart now.
If He had not died on Calvary, if He had not heard my feeble plea, if He had not come to see about me, I wouldn't be here today. Oh, no, I wouldn't be here today.
Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Can you say amen to that song? Lord, if it wasn't for your mercy, when I was running the streets, if it wasn't for your mercy, when I was at 120, if it wasn't for your mercy, I was on that bar stool. If it wasn't for your mercy when I was out there in the world doing all kinds of nonsense. But brother, sister, it was there. Mercy found you. He did die on the cross. Hallelujah. He did hear your feeble plea. And He came just to see how you were doing. He didn't leave you in that mud pit. You were God's seed. And He had watched that serpent try to push you down. And it got too much that God couldn't take it no more. He said, "You're done now, devil. Get out of the way." And He came down. He pulled you out of that mud, that muck and mire. He washed you clean and gave you the Holy Ghost. Glory to God tonight. Oh, give Him praise for the victory in your heart. Brother, sister, if you need a fresh pouring, get it tonight. Open your soul to the Lord Jesus. Say, "Father, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with that victory. I'm running low. I feel like the devil's got the victory. Lord, I believe in your word. I believe and I've gotten the victory because you said so. I believe I'm in Laodicea because you put me here. Not to be defeated, to be an overcomer. And Lord, look, even lift your infirmity. Say, "Father, you gave me this body. Heal it, Lord. Father, you gave me my qualms and my pet peeves. Lord, give me overcoming power. Glory to God." Hallelujah. Oh, worship Him, children. Worship Him. Lift your hands and just love on Him. His Spirit's here. It's the overcomer. He's here. He's the same God that walked the shores of Galilee. Still here today. He's the same from the garden, that same seed, all the way back in the woman. Is still here today, still whipping the devil. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Dad. Let's sing. Sing what you sing. Praise His name. We're here to worship anyways, brother, sister.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, just sing. Worship Him. Whatever you feel led, let's worship Him a little while.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
the Lamb.
Yes, Father.
The hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
My heart sings.
Thank the Lord.
His son.
Let's sing his praise tonight.
The hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
Tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. My heart sings His praise again.
Yes, Father.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. What a conqueror. Yes, Father.
Yeah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings His praise again.
I'll let you be dismissed tonight, brother and sister. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for the service. Thank you.